welcome to Church Online. Wherever you are in your homes, join us in worship. You can stand, you can raise your hands. Just give God the glory that's due unto Him as we sing about our great and mighty God this morning. Our God is greater. He's stronger. He is higher than any other. He is the healer. He is awesome in power. That's the God that we serve. Water turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. As we rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power.
Our God is greater. awesome in power, our God. Our God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We serve a great and mighty God, worthy of worship, worthy of honor, worthy of praise. Father, we acknowledge you as Lord of all. We glorify you, we magnify you, we exalt you, O God. You are King of kings and Lord of lords, the great I am. You are the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000. Only you are God and God alone. So right now, Lord, have your own sweet way in this place. Move by your spirit, heal, deliver, and restore your people. Prepare our hearts for worship as we let go and let you take total charge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Wherever you are this morning, just reach up a hand, both hands, and just say, thank you, Jesus. Say, I love you, Lord. No matter what's going on around us, say, thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord God. You're worthy, Lord God.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside. Upon you. with me.
Is firm on you, built on you, God. Father, we are so grateful that we can come to you and just talk. We can bawl, we can pour out our hearts to you because you are a good God, a God who cares and looks after his children. Thank you, Father, for being that type of Father where we can talk to you, Lord. Father, as we consider all the things that's going on around us even now with this virus, as we can think about how we weren't prepared and how it has affected us in so many ways. But you, God, you have been keeping us and sustaining us, and we are so grateful to you, oh God. Thank you for being that daddy. Thank you for being God who is there to keep us and protect us. Father, we thank you for your word, which reminds us that you take care of even the birds. Why not us? You made us. You remind us that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Oh, Father, we need you even now, Lord, as we put our cares and our concerns to you, oh God. Father, we know that you are aware of all the things that's going on around us because you are in control. And even when it seems like things not going on right, you are still in control because your word says so, and we believe it. Thank you, Father, for being that God who is never shaken, for being that God is unchangeable and cannot be moved, for being a God that nothing surprises. No one can surprise you. we are so confident that we have a God who is there with us even through the tough times. Thank you for being our provider, our keeper, our protector. Oh God, we praise you, we worship you, we love you, Father, and we give you thanks for everything even now, in Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome to Church Online. Man, we really miss you. We wish you were here. I know some of you are watching online. Some of you are wearing your pajamas. Others of you are wearing the Sunday's best. Some have on a durag. Others are wearing their wig. And some of you didn't even put on your wig yet. But that's okay. We truly miss you and we wish you were here. Man, I am getting tired of preaching to empty pews and an empty building. But even though you're not here, we are still family, and we can't wait for the moment you can come on back and we can worship together the God of the universe. But even though you're not here, you are family because we are the church. We are the church, not this building, not these padded pews, not even the function of us coming together. We are the church, the people of God, the family of God, the called out ones. We are the church, and I am excited that no matter where we are, we can commit to pointing people to Jesus. Man, I can't wait for us to get together again. But until then, let's keep pointing people to Jesus. This week, we start a brand new series called Foundations. And during this series, we're going to wrestle with questions that deal with the things we believe as Christians, as believers. It's a big word we use in church. It's called doctrine. But all it really means is what we believe. One of the things we believe is that God is in control, that he's sovereign. We believe in a God who is creator and a God who is sovereign. And in a while, we're going to wrestle with scripture to kind of help you to figure that out. The last couple of weeks, we've been saying things like, we need to have faith over fear. Like, you should have faith over fear because the God who is in control tells us to have faith and not have fear. We've been saying things like don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Because when you worry, it does nothing. We've been saying things like, God is in control and God is for us. Now, some of you, when I say those things, you're saying, amen, Pastor. Some of you are shouting, hallelujah. Some of you are saying, preach it, preach it. But yet there's some of you who might be saying, who is this God you want me to trust? Well, my goal today is to tell you about this God in whom I believe you need to place your faith, this God in whom I believe you can trust. Now, trusting is a hard thing to do in society, in life, because so often when we trust folks, they let us down. It is hard to trust people because people are fickle. Like, I know some of you got your stimulus check this week, and maybe you had a friend or a cousin or an uncle that said, can I borrow $1,200? Now, some of you are wrestling with lending them that money because if they don't give it back, it's going to ruin your relationship. And you might feel that they might not give it back, or maybe you don't trust them. It's hard to trust folks with things like our secrets, because if they share those things we share with them, now they can tell someone else. And when they do that, it can bring us shame and even guilt. It's hard to trust our politicians and those who are in the government, but here's what I want you to know. Even though humans are hard to trust, we can trust a God who is in control. Listen, humans are finite, meaning we are limitless. We don't have the capacity to trust or to hold on to things the way others can or the way God can. But God is different. He's not finite. He's infinite, meaning he is limitless, he's immeasurable, and today I want you to hear about this God. So if you have a Bible, whether it's paper or screen, would you journey with me to the book of Romans? Romans chapter 1, we're going to be starting from verses 19 to 20. If you have a Bible, whether it's paper or screen, go ahead and find it wherever you are. Now, if you are watching online via our Facebook, in a moment, someone's going to post a link to our listening guide. If you're watching on YouTube, good news. Someone, one of our leaders, will post a link to our listening guide. And if you're watching on our website, right above our stream, there's a link for you to download the listening guide. Whether you can print it or just keep it on your phone, we want you to follow along as we dive into God's word together. Matter of fact, if you feel comfortable wherever you are, when you stand for God's word, when we stand for God's word, all we're saying is, God, we honor your word. We reverence your word. If you feel comfortable, you can. If you don't, you can sit where you are. But I want to encourage you right where you are to stand for God's word. Look what Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Look what he says. He says, since what may be known to God about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So that people are without excuse. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow your heads right where you are as we pray the Lord will bless our time together this morning. Father, we pray. We thank you for being a good father. Thank you for being a God we can trust. Thank you for being a God who gives us faith so we don't have to fear. Thank you for being a God who reminds us that you take care of us. We don't have to worry. So God, would you hide me behind the cross? Would you teach? Would you preach? May I only be a vessel being used for your glory. And right where you are, would you shout real loud, say amen. Amen. Now, amen is a word we use to say, I agree, right? Amen. Now, listen, the text you just read is a powerful text. It is shouting in those two verses. It's shouting real loud. Here's what it's saying. It's saying there's a God who exists, and this God who exists has made himself known to us. Now, when I was growing up, when I was a young boy growing up, here's what I remembered growing up. There are many a times where my aunts and uncles and mom and dad would shout this to me. They will say, Arthur. And you know what? I'm going to be honest. When I heard them call me many times, I would ignore them. Because when they would call me, they were saying, leave what I was doing and come do something I probably didn't want to do, right? Leave the video games and come and put out the garbage. Leave the TV show and walk all the way down the street to get the groceries out of the trunk. And so often when they would shout my name right away, I would ignore them, hoping that they would call somebody else. What I realized that my kids do the same thing to me. They would shout, and I would shout their names, and they would pretend like they didn't hear me. But listen, God is saying this verse, scripture is saying that God shouts to us that there is a God, that he exists, and he's saying to us, he is in control. That's what the verse is saying. It's saying God is in control. As a matter of fact, write this down as point number one. If you're following along with the notes, God is known through the world he has made. God is known through the world he has made. And in the verse, Paul is saying to us that the world we live in shouts that there is a God, that he does exist, that he is the creator of the entire world. And he says, by his external powers and even by nature, no one has an excuse. No one has an excuse. And if we don't realize there's a God, it's because we are suppressing the truth. Or you're doing like me when I was young. You're ignoring what you're hearing. So point number one is God is known through the world he has made. You know, one of the verses that point that out very clearly is Psalms 19, verses 1 and 2. This psalmist, David, tells us that through nature, through the heavens, we know there's a God. Take a look at what it says. It says, look at verse 1. For the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Listen, what that verse 1 is saying is this, is that the skies, that the heavens, the skies proclaim the works of his hands. What does that mean? It means that we didn't put clouds in the sky. It means that we are not in control. It means that there's no ladder large enough for us to go and hammer clouds to the sky. Look at verse 2, if you have your Bible. It says, day after day, it pours forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. What does that mean? It means that even in the daytime, God is shouting, I am God. I exist. I am here. And even at nighttime, when the sun goes down, he still shouts, I am God. I am here. Now, they say with the naked eye, you can see about 5,000 stars. Now, if you're fancy or if you have a little bit of money and you buy a telescope, you can see about 2 million stars. And whether you see 5,000 stars or 2 million stars, all you need to do is see one star to know that there's someone greater than ourselves. Listen, just one star tells us there's someone beyond us. There's someone who is greater than us. And that's what the scripture is saying to us, that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The heavens shout the greatness of God. The heavens shout the wisdom of God. And if you're a scientist, you know that this world stands on an axis. And if it goes about 3 feet off its axis, everything crumbles. Everything. This building we're in, the houses you live in, they crumble. But because God is in control, because the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, it is shouting that there's a God and he exists, and creation points us to this God. He didn't stop there. Not only does it shout that he is God through creation, and that's what you call, it's a fancy term in church language, general revelation. That the general revelation of nature and the skies and the day and the night, what that does is it points to God. But he didn't stop there. He pointed, if you read his word is what you call special revelation. It also points to God. Matter of fact, the very first thing God tells about himself is that he is God, that he's creator. If you have a Bible, go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. Look at what it says. The very beginning, the first couple of words in the Bible says this: in the beginning, God created. And the very first word says, in the beginning, God. He wants us to know that he is God and that he exists. The very first thing God tells us is that he is God. And right after that, he says, in the beginning, God created. And what did he create? He created the heavens and the earth. Wow. What God did was he shouted at nothing and it obeyed. When my parents shouted at me, at times I would ignore them, hoping that they would call somebody else. Call my brother, call my sister, call a cousin, call somebody else. But when God spoke to nothing, heaven and earth was created. And right after that in verse 2, look what it says. The heavens and earth was created. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. What is going on in that verse is that these two verses lay a foundation. Yes, a foundation for our faith. We see our faith is built upon these four, five words in the beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created. And from those words, we now build our faith. Our faith is built upon those words that in the beginning, God created. Listen, and one of the things I love on Facebook, like there's a lot of things I ignore on Facebook. Like when folks are arguing, debating about Congress and debating politicians and arguing about husbands and wives, I ignore those things sometimes. But I love when I see artists that have a blank canvas. When I see that, I stop because I'm intrigued about what they're going to do with that blank canvas. Some of them, they'll start with a blank canvas, and then you blink, and there's a lion. There's sort of a blank canvas, and you blink, and then there's Bob Marley, or blink, and then there's Kobe Bryant. And some of them are so talented, they'll draw themselves from a blank canvas. Now listen, God didn't need a blank canvas. God spoke to nothing. He spoke to absolutely nothing. He didn't need paint to kind of pretty up. He spoke to nothing, and out of nothing came the heavens and the earth. That is the God I want you to trust in this season. That is the God that even though we're going through a pandemic, where COVID-19 is taking so many lives, in this season, I want you to trust the God who has the power to speak to nothing, and nothing has to obey. That's the God I want you to trust. That's the God of the Bible. Write this down as point number one. He didn't stop there. God is known through his creation. God is known through his creation. Look at what it says in Genesis, the first chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Look what it says. Then God said, let us, say let us. Now, that word us means that there were other people there, right? Hold on, you're saying that nothing created was created before then. Who was the us? Well, the us is the family of God. The us is God the Father. The us is God the Son. And the us is God the Holy Spirit. He says, come, let us make mankind in our image, meaning mankind was made in the image of God. Mankind was made to reflect God in the earth, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fishes in the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over the creatures that move on the ground. Look at verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, God created them. Male and female, God created them. God created humanity. He didn't stop with just saying heavens and earth come forth. He took time and he created humanity. Look at verse 28. God blessed them. You see, when God creates something, he blesses it. And we're special, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful. Why? And increase in numbers. Why? To fill the earth with those who bear the image of God. God is about bearing his image. God wants us to see who he is. Yes, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Yes, day and night he's shouting. Whether you speak Spanish, Creole, Spanglish, Patois, whatever you speak, God is speaking to us day and night. And he created humanity so we can be fruitful and increase in numbers, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over all living creation that moves on the ground. Wow, I don't want you to miss this. So often we take this moment lightly, what this verse is saying to us, which is so powerful. And when you hear it, you've probably heard it before, and it goes over your head, but you were created by God. God created humanity in his image to bear his likeness, to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth with those who bear the image of God. God created us. You were created by God. David, later on in Psalms 139, verse 13 and 14, says this. It says that we were creviced or created in our mother's wombs. We were made by God. Not only that, but God created you to represent God in the earth. I mean, that's why we were created. Humanity was created to rep God in the earth. Now, rep is a fancy or a cool way to say it in urban America, represent. We were created to represent God in the earth. Imagine that. You're alive today because God created you so that if you're living according to your purpose, you represent God in the earth. And lastly, you don't see it in the text real clearly, but it's there. We are created for the glory of God. That's the God I want you to trust in this season. The God who created you. The God who created you to represent God in the earth. The God who created you for his glory. If I was you, I would be shouting amen right where you are. Now I know some of you are shouting amen, and you feel very good that God created you. He created you to represent him in the earth, and you were created for the glory of God. You're not going to like this. Even though that's true, God doesn't need you. God doesn't need anything from you. I know you're probably saying, give me some scripture and verse, but before I give you a scripture, write this down. God does not need anything. God does not need anything. And Luke made that known to us in Acts 17 and verse 24. Look what he says. The God who made the world. Again, he's reminding us that God is the creator, that he made the world. Not you, not the president, not anyone else. God, the God who made the world and everything in it, is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. Listen, God does not live in a temple built by human hands. You might live in a fancy house, but I want to tell you this. Your house was built by human hands. You had a human contractor. You had a human engineer who designed your house. The house you live in was built by human hands. But the God we serve does not live in a temple built by human hands. Look at verse 25. Look what it says. And he's not served by human hands. Meaning God doesn't need you to serve him. Maybe your kids do. Maybe even your community does. But God does not need your hands. But I'm so glad, even though he doesn't need our hands, he sure wants to use them. And is as if he needed anything. What is Luke saying here? He's saying to us, God does not need anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Man, that is so powerful. We live in this world that has so many great needs. Like right now, there's some folks who have financial needs. And they're worrying about how they're going to pay the bills. And maybe they even got a stimulus check, but that's not enough. There's some folks who have some physical needs. Physically, they're going through some stuff. Maybe they have COVID, and COVID-19 is putting them through a bad situation. Listen, even though they're going through some physical needs, there's a God who doesn't need anything. There's some folks who have emotional needs. And emotionally, they're tired of being in the house. But maybe they can't go anywhere because they shouldn't go anywhere. Maybe they have underlying health issues. And emotionally, things aren't right now. Listen, even though you need a whole lot, there's a God who does not need anything. Listen, the God we serve does not need a stimulus check. The God we serve, he doesn't need a mask. And if you have one, you wear it. But the good news is we serve a God who doesn't need a mask. He does not need hand sanitizers. Listen, he doesn't need the toilet paper that's stuffed in your garage. He doesn't need you or me. But here's the good news. Even though he doesn't need us, he wants to use us for his glory. The God I want you to trust isn't in need of us, but he wants to use us. And that's good news. This God who needs nothing and this God who creates everything, listen, he wants to use us for his glory in this season. Not only that, not only does he need nothing from us, but God is good and perfect. Like in church, we would say things like, God is good all the time, and all the time, you know it, God is good. And that's a true statement. God is good. He's good, and he's perfect in all of his ways. Look at what James, the brother of Jesus, said in James chapter 1 and verse 17. Here's what he says. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heaven, heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows. Now, here's what it's saying in this moment, is that our God is good and he's perfect. And when we see God being this God who is good and perfect, it shows us that we are imperfect, that we are not perfect. It shows us a God who is infinite, and it reminds us that we are finite, meaning we're limitless. We are limited, but our God is limitless. This God that we serve is good, and he is perfect. And I love the end of the verse. We often miss this part. He says, he does not change. Who does not change like shifting shadows. I remember a couple of years ago, my wife got in a car accident, a very bad car accident. The car was hit right. She got T-boned. I remember when I got the phone call from the cops, I was just rushing to the accident because I wanted to make sure my baby was all right. And I was so thankful that when I got there, even though the car was wrecked, my baby was okay. My bride was okay. God was kind to us. So after we heard the car was wrecked, I said to the car dealership, I said to the car insurance company, I said, all right, the car is wrecked, and we need you to give us, what is it called again? A car rental. Said, my plan says that I have a car rental. And she typed it up, and she says, sir, your plan changed. She says, when you bought this car, you were trying to save some money, and you change your plan. So you may have had a car rental plan in your plan earlier, but right now you don't have a car rental in your plan. So no car for you. I was real mad that my plan was changed, even though I changed it. And I was mad, why did I change my plan? Here's the reality, we serve a God who is never changing. Nothing can change this good and perfect God. Nothing can change who he is. He is a good God. He is the creator of the universe. He is a sustainable God. He is a loving God, and he's unchanging. That's the God we serve. You see, sometimes the wind blows and we change our mind. But the God we serve never changes. He's good and he's perfect. That's the God I want you to trust in this season. Listen, folks change their mind all the time. Even our government, they're like, we're going to open in 10 weeks. No, we're going to open in 2 weeks. We're going to open in 5 weeks. And listen, I'm not trying to talk bad about our government, but they're going to change their minds. Our God never changes. He loves you. He created you. And he is there for you in the time of need. Our God is never changing. He does not change. Listen, not only is he good, but God is great. God is great. Isaiah, in Isaiah 40 and 12, tells us how great God is without even using the word great. Look at what Isaiah says in Isaiah 40 and 12. He says, who has measured the water with hollow hands? Who has measured the water with the hollow of his hands? Meaning, God can measure all the water in the world by the hollow of his hands. Listen, me and you can't do that. Or with his breath. And his hands marked off the heavens. Who has held dust of the earth in a basket? He can hold all the dust of the earth in a basket. Or weigh the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance. Listen, the only thing I can weigh is when I jump on that scale during COVID-19 and see that thing going up. But the God we serve, he can weigh the mountains on a scale. The God we serve can hold the waters of the earth in his hands. The God we serve can grab all the dust on the earth and put it in a basket. Why is he saying that? Because he wants us to know that God is great. I have a friend of mine that when his kids pray for their meals, they'll say, God is good, God is great. Yes, the God we serve is not only good, but he's also a great God. And in this season, I want you to trust the God who is great, the God who can measure dust and see how much a mountain weighs. I want you to trust the God who is creator, a God who is in control. Isaiah is saying God is great. And this God who is great is triune. I know some of you are saying the word triune we use very often. We use the word Trinity and we don't see it anywhere in the Bible. But it's all over the scripture. Listen, in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, we see Jesus come into this place to be baptized by his cousin John the Baptist. And as they were leading him down to be baptized, John says, I'm not worthy to baptize you. I'm not even worthy to tie your laces. You are good and you are great and you are creator and you are sustainer. I'm not even worthy to tie your shoes. Jesus told him, because I'm good and great, be obedient to what I tell you to do. And in obedience, John baptized Jesus. And when he did that, the dove came down, symbolizing God, the Holy Spirit, who gives us power. And then we hear the audible voice of God the Father saying, this is my son. This is my boy with whom I am well pleased. And then we see the son coming up to be the lamb who would take away the sins of the world. To be the lamb who would be the way. This triune God of us. This creator God who said, let us make heaven. Let us make humanity. This Father is our source. This Father is the source. The Son is the way. In John 14 and 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but by me. This Son who is the way allows us to get to the Father who is our source. And even while we are waiting for that moment where we can be with Christ forever in eternity, he says to us, I'm sending another one. In Acts 1 and 8, he says, when the Holy Spirit come, you will have power. Listen, God created you to represent God in the earth and for his glory. And we can't do that without power. And that power we can have comes through the Holy Spirit to empower us in and out of season to point people to Jesus, to point them to the Father who's our source, to point them to the Son who is the way, and to point them to the Holy Spirit who gives us power. Here's the final point. And if you didn't write anything else down, I want you to pause for a moment and write this down. Some of you are saying, who is this God you're talking about? Here's who this God is. God is the loving creator and sustainer of everything. He's eternal and unchanging in his goodness, wisdom, and power. Matter of fact, right where you are, would you say that with me? Say, God is the loving creator and sustainer of everything. He is eternal and unchanging in his goodness, wisdom, and power. Our faith is built upon that we serve a God who's a loving creator, a sustainer of everything. He's eternal and unchanging in his goodness, wisdom, and power. And so in this season, we're not going to worry about anything, but when worry comes, we're going to pray about everything. Before we close today, I want to give two calls. Maybe you're here today and you've never placed your faith in this God who is in control, this God who is infinite, who is full of wisdom, who is limitless, who is immeasurable, who can measure mountains with his own scale, who can hold all the dust of the earth in a basket, the God who allows the heavens and the earth to declare his goodness, that God. Today, I want to give you a chance to place your faith in that God. Right where you are, would you bow your head? Would you just bow your head right where you are? No matter who's looking, would you pray this prayer? Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for loving me so much that you created me and you sustain me. And you are eternal God who is unchanging in your goodness, your wisdom, and your power. Today, I place my faith in you, knowing, Lord God, that in you I have hope for this life and the life to come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, if you believe in your heart that Christ died for you, the Word of God says when we believe in Jesus and what he has done for us, not in what we can do for ourselves, we are saved and we are part of the family of God. Before we close today, I want to pray five prayers, just real quickly before we sing our closing song. For those of you who are believers, listen, I told you a couple of weeks ago, it is okay to not be okay. But even when we're not okay, we can pray to God because he's in control. I want to pray, first of all, for your protection. So bow your head right where you are. Let's pray. God, I pray right now for my family. Pray you protect them. Protect those who have COVID-19. Maybe they're in the hospital needing, Lord God, for your protection. Protect those who serve as nurses and doctors and PAs and our firemen and police officers and work at Walmart and Publix. Would you protect them? Would you protect our teachers and our families? Would you protect us, Lord God, like you did for the people of Israel when the blood covered their door? Would you protect our people? I want to pray for your provision, that the God we serve will provide. So God, would you provide all of our needs? God, there's some who have lost their job. Others have lost hours at their job. God, your word says you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. So God, provide all that we need in this season. Not only for your protection, your provision, but God, we pray for God's peace. Because we need peace in this season. Let's pray. Father, we pray for your peace. God, would you be a good father? Would you give us a peace that goes beyond human comprehension? May we not lean on our own understanding, but we acknowledge you in all of thy ways. And God, you will direct us, and you will give us peace. I also want to pray for perseverance, that we don't give up, that we keep moving forward. God, would you empower us by the power of your Holy Spirit to never grow weary in doing what is good. But God, may we keep moving forward, not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. May we never grow weary. May you mount us up with wings of eagles. Thank you, Lord God, for the power of your Holy Spirit that gives us joy and peace to keep moving on. And lastly, I want to pray for perspective. Who is God? He's the God who's in control. And no matter what you're going through, he sits on his throne. So God, may you give us the right perspective. May we see you as a God who is on the throne. As a good, good father, as a loving father, as the one, Lord God, who cares for his children. May we hear your voice saying, don't worry about a thing. Because every little thing is going to be all right. Why? Because our God is on the throne. He's all powerful and he is in control. He's a good father who takes care of his children. Love you. Take care. God bless. Who is God? He is in control and he sits on the throne.
Who I am.
You're a good, good
It's who you are.
And I'm loved by you.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Hallelujah.
Oh, wow. Isn't it awesome? The great God of the universe who created everything, who created heaven and earth, who arranged galaxies and hung the stars in their places, who created me and created you. He wants a relationship with us. He knows every single detail about our lives, but he loves us just the same, and he wants us to get to know him better. And this is such a wonderful place to start, or a great reminder that we serve a loving God who loves us and will never, ever, ever change, no matter what. His goodness and his wisdom and his power are the same today as they were yesterday, and as they will be tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that. God loves you, and he's promised never to leave you or forsake you. You can trust him. This week, we want to remind you to call, to text, to email, to WhatsApp, to Snapchat a member of this family or a member of your family. It only takes a moment to put a smile on someone's face. And we want you to connect with a virtual small group Bible study. It's another great way for us to get to know more about God and to connect with each other. And right now, there are millions of people who are worried about their daily provision. They're not sure how their bills are going to get paid. But thankfully, we serve a God that there is absolutely no need that is too great for him. And thank you for being generous. Thank you for giving. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for inviting. If you're worshiping with us today here online for the very first time, we're so excited that you decided to spend this time with us. And we want to connect with you. Please visit our website. Click on the Connect tab and complete the Connect form. We want to connect with you because we really do care. Remember, here we're not just like family, we are family. We've come to the end of our time together today. I am so grateful that you decided to worship with us today. May God bless you in abundance during this week. And we'll see you next time. Take care.